This is Ham College, episode 117. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. Keep your competitive contesting edge with ICOM. Heard it, worked it, logged it. Greetings and welcome to another episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
And we've got questions.
And you've got answers, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Right answers, hopefully. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see.
We'll find out. You know, anytime we're doing a show, we've got a chat room going on at the same time. It's on the YouTube chat these days. You're encouraged, if you're watching live, to join in there. What did we talk about last month?
Last month, we talked about licensing, classes, sequential, and vanity call sign systems, places where amateur radio service is regulated by the FCC, names and addresses on FCC database, term and renewal. How about that? My memory's just foggy. It's not what it used to be. Grace period, maintaining mailing addresses, international communications, and early radio receivers, and that was a pretty full show.
That was, and of course, we're studying for the technician class exam now. This month, we're going to be studying authorized and prohibited transmissions, communications with other countries, music, exchange of information with other services, and decent language, compensation for operating, retransmission of other amateur signals, encryption, sale of equipment, unidentified transmissions, and one-way transmission.
Sounds like this was going to be a pretty full one as well.
Yep. Sounds like it's going to be mostly rule stuff. Well, why don't you ask me the first one?
Okay, no particular reason. Let me see if I can find them. Okay. With which countries are FCC-licensed amateur radio stations prohibited from exchanging communications? A, any country whose administration has notified the International Telecommunications Union or the ITU that it objects to such communications.
B, any country whose administrators have notified the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, that it objects to such communications.
C, any country banned from such communications by the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU.
Or D, any country banned from making such communications by the American Radio Relay League, ARRL. Well, that last one, that's kind of wishful thinking if other countries are going to be, if the ARRL is going to be able to ban them.
Yeah,
that's only an American organization. The question again is with which countries are FCC-licensed amateur radio stations prohibited from exchanging communications? C, any country banned from such communications by the International Amateur Radio Union? No, I don't think the IARU bans countries. If they did, it's probably a bad actor who wouldn't listen to them anyway. So that's not going to be it. B, any country whose administration has notified the ARRL that it objects to such communications. Now, it's not going to be that because the ARRL is not a regulatory agency. It's, it's a private amateur radio organization.
Yeah.
A, any country whose administration has notified the International Telecommunications Union, the ITU, that it objects to such communications. That makes sense.
It makes sense to me as well.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with A. A?
A.
The chat room, what did they say? Not many of them answered.
Much. I see one C in there. But nobody else answered.
Yeah, well, I see an A in there. A, I think.
Let's see one now.
Yep. Okay.
No, they're trickling in now.
We must have been talking too fast.
But We're in Mississippi, man. We don't do that. I don't even know how to talk fast.
No, there's something in the state constitution about that, I think.
Yep.
Well, I got one for you.
All right. I feel like this was a setup because you wanted to take
it,
the first
it one. It wasn't. I was just, I mean, I didn't really look to see what order they're going to follow.
It's all right. Just let me
But if it works out to be a setup, I'm okay with that.
I'm sure you are.
Under which of the following circumstances are one-way transmissions by an amateur station prohibited? A, in all circumstances.
B, broadcasting.
C, international Morse code practice.
Or D, telecommand or transmission of telemetry. One-way transmissions. Well, it's not A because I know telecommand transmission telemetry is perfectly fine. Morse code practice is fine too, so it's got to be B, broadcasting. So you don't get on there and just like broadcast messages out to anybody that may happen to be listening and they're not expecting an answer back or trying to get an answer back.
Yeah. Most people in there are saying B.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to agree with you. Just because that is the right answer, I think. And it is. Here. There you go.
Here, you need one from the last one.
So, we'll call it up.
I owed you one.
Yeah, you did.
You want to go ahead and give me the next one for next?
To get ahead?
Yeah, to get ahead.
I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes.
When is it permissible to transmit messages encoded to obscure their meaning? A, only during contests.
B, only when transmitting certain approved digital codes.
C, only when transmitting control commands to space stations or radio control craft.
Or D, never. When is it permissible to transmit messages encoded to obscure their meaning? Only during contest, well, you know, that's...
Yeah, there's a good chance that's probably not it.
Nah, I don't think that's it.
It defeats the whole contest purpose.
Only when transmitting certain approved digital modes.
Codes?
No. D, never. That's a pretty close answer there. But actually... To accommodate technology, I'm going to say it's C, only when transmitting control codes to space stations or radio control craft. Yeah, you wouldn't want to transmit commands to radio control crafts or space stations out in the clear where everybody
somebody
can
hijack them and
exactly.
take over your stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, it's C.
I could see that happening, too. It wouldn't take 5 minutes before somebody had that stuff.
You're right. Makes sense.
Uh-huh. Perfect sense.
Under what conditions is an amateur station authorized to transmit music using a phone emission? A, when incidental to an authorized retransmission of a manned spacecraft communications.
B, when the music produces no spurious emissions.
C, when transmissions are limited to less than 3 minutes per hour.
Or D, when the music is transmitted above 1,280 megahertz. Well, you can't transmit music in 1.2 gigs either. Transmission limited to 3 minutes per hour. That's not it either. And spurious emissions to music doesn't matter. It's going to be A, an incidental to an authorized retransmission of manned spacecraft communications.
Yeah.
So I guess if somebody was jamming out up there on the space station and it was in the background and you retransmitted the broadcast, the QSO with them, I guess that's okay.
Yeah,
I'm interpreting that.
I'm not sure that's ever happened or not.
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
But, no.
But I guess it's, if he did, it was okay.
It must come up at some point. Somebody addressed it.
Yeah.
Everybody, even the cheap old fella in there, said A on this one right here. I'm going to agree.
You are going to agree, you say? Yeah, that's what I said. Me too.
Well, yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
I concur.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'll give it up. When may amateur radio operators use their stations to notify other amateurs of the availability of equipment for sale or trade? A, never.
B, when the equipment is not the personal property of either the station licensee or the control operator or their close relatives.
C, when no profit is made on the sale.
D, when selling amateur radio equipment and not on a regular basis. Yeah, you know, you might think it was A on one end of the scale, but it's not. But I'm going to say it's D, when selling amateur radio equipment and not on a regular basis.
I think it's C.
You think it's C, when no profit is made on the sale?
Yeah, cause you're not really supposed to conduct any business to make money on it, on the radio.
No,
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Let's see.
That was not
intentional.
Okay.
But it just worked out that way.
They're still saying D in there.
I think it's C. I guess. I was wrong.
Well, it didn't get counted against you since you asked me the question.
If you sell it and don't make a profit, but not on a regular basis.
Well, yeah. I mean, that could work. But if you did make a profit, that's okay. That's permitted. But
that's interesting.
Not on a regular basis. Yeah. You know, there is a Texas Traders Network. Have you ever heard that on HF?
No.
It's where people are selling amateur radio equipment. And I hadn't listened to it in years and years. I never really listened to it that much. But I'm just wondering now, are there certain people on there who have something?
On a regular basis?
Yeah. I don't know. Must not be. But, yeah, you hear people trying to, or, you know, I got such and such model radio, and I'm going to sell it. Well, what do you take for it? Well, I'll take $50 for it.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess I've heard that, but it's been a while that I have. But it never crossed my mind to get on there for that. I would list it somewhere else.
I don't ever recall. Yeah, I don't ever recall selling anything over the air, but apparently it's legal as long as it's not regular. How would you enforce a no-profit rule?
I have no idea.
I was thinking the same thing. How would you know if somebody made a profit on it or not?
Yeah, it'd be tough, I guess.
Yeah. What, if any, are the restrictions concerning transmission of language that may be considered indecent or obscene? A, the FCC maintains a list of words that are not permitted to be used on amateur frequencies.
B, any such language is prohibited.
C, the ITU maintains a list of words that are not permitted to be used on amateur frequencies.
Or D, there is no such prohibition. I guess that's how you say that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say the answer for this one is any such language is prohibited. I don't think anybody's going to maintain a list of words because...
Nobody but George Carlin did that I know of.
Well, that's true. He did, and he did a good job of that, too.
Well, he's famous for it.
Yeah, and other things.
But we can't talk about it on the air.
Yeah. But I'm thinking it's going to be that, B.
B.
Yeah, I guess I didn't beat around the bush too much, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. If it's questionable, if it even kind of seems like it's kind of not right, then it's best just not to say it on there.
Yeah.
So a lot better ways.
Not everybody pays attention to that rule, but, you know.
Yeah. Heard it's, some stuff on HF. It's, I think I've heard it on 2 meters, too.
I have, too. What do you say we take a break?
Sounds like a good idea.
Keep your competitive contesting edge with ICOM. ICOM's high-powered base stations cut through polyps, letting you work the bends and record those contacts. Contest from the comfort of your home or remotely with the RSBA1 app. Heard it, worked it, logged it. ICOM heard the call and answered. The ICPW2 is here. Take your contesting experience to the next level with ICOM's industry-first linear amplifier, which includes DPD, digital predistortion, and a built-in 2x6 automatic antenna selector for SO2R single-operator two-radio operation. With the IC7610, faint signals are no longer challenging for DXers and contesters. This high-performance SDR radio changed the world's definition of an SDR transceiver. This high-powered base station features an RF direct sampling system, 110 dB RMDR that can pick out the faintest of signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals, an independent dual receiver, dual digicell, and more. This is the SDR every ham wants. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios and to locate a dealer, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today. For the love of ham radio.
Episode 3 of Amateur Logic. Boy, that was, 19 years ago, almost?
That just kind of blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
19 years.
Yep. Long time. We're celebrating that, too.
Yeah, next somebody's going to get some cool stuff.
Yeah, we've got a few things here on the table that we're going to be giving away, and we'll talk about that. Later on, we got more questions before that.
But we got some other stuff to give away before that, too.
And why don't we do that now?
How about one of these cool t-shirts we can give away?
You know, that would be a good idea. Let me just say.
Some ICOM Ham Crew t-shirts.
Yes.
Got the same thing on the front as it does on the back. So when you leave in the Ham Fest, you'll look just as good as you did when you showed up.
If you'd like to win one of those, there's an easy way to do that. All you got to do is send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv, and just that's it. You can put
send
a message
your name
in there. Send you can send your name, and the winner is gonna be Jim McDonald.
Awesome.
KI7ZAX.
Congratulations, Jim.
Jim says, please enter me in the monthly contest for the ICOM product. Well, it's I don't know if that's a product, but it's a shirt.
It's a darn nice shirt.
I don't know that they sell them, but you could win one. They may sell them. I don't know.
Like you just did win one.
He did just win one.
And whatever else may show up with it.
And he's in Bellingham, Washington, so he's not far from ICOM.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So, congratulations, Jim. If you'd like to win, just send us an email, hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. You could put a message in there like Jim did. Just a one-liner, be fine. You could write a paragraph.
That would be fine, too.
Or you could just say, well, we don't want any, like they were saying earlier, any of that indecent or obscene language. But, you know, we don't usually receive that now that I've said this. So
somebody will step up. Influx of them.
So,
get your name into the queue. Nigel knows about the queues. They love the queues in England. That's what they call lines. When you get in the line, they call it the queue.
Okay.
What type of amateur stations can automatically retransmit the signals of other amateur stations? A. Auxiliary, beacon, or earth stations?
B. Earth, repeater, or space stations?
C. Beacon, repeater, or space stations?
D. Repeater, auxiliary, or space stations? What type of amateur stations can automatically retransmit the signals of other amateur stations?
Say all those three times real fast.
Yeah, let's see. Auxiliary, beacon, or earth. Well, no, a beacon is just like sending out a call sign or something repeatedly. It's not automatically retransmitting anything, so that'll rule out A for sure. B, automatically retransmit earth, repeater, or space stations. I mean, that would pretty much cover everything, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's it. C, beacon, repeater, or space stations. Yeah, there again, it's got beacon in there. I don't know that you can retransmit a beacon because you're not the beacon. Somebody else is the beacon. If you retransmitted them, then that would be false because you're in a different location. Yep. Somebody else was beacon. I'm going to say it's D, repeater, auxiliary, or space stations.
I think that's probably right.
That's as close as I can come.
I keep reading that as bacon.
Bacon?
Yeah. Auxiliary bacon.
Have you had supper yet?
No.
Okay. There you go. You should eat before you go take your exam. you could miss this. And they're saying D in the chat room. Dean Martin agrees.
I do concur.
I think I got a good chance on this one.
Well, I'm not the benchmark on this stuff, though.
Well, yeah, sometimes you are.
Sometimes.
Yeah. In which of the following circumstances may the control operator of an amateur station receive compensation for operating that station? A, when the communication is related to the sale of amateur equipment by the control operator's employer?
B, when the communication is incidental to classroom instruction at an educational institution?
C, when the communication is made to obtain emergency information for a local broadcast station?
Or D, all these choices are correct. In which of the following circumstances may the control operator of an amateur station receive compensation? It's definitely not going to be D, because that's kind of a no-no. When communication is made to obtain emergency information for a local broadcast station, that still wouldn't be something you could get paid for.
No.
B, when the communication is incidental to a classroom instruction at an educational institution. I think that's probably going to be it, but let's look at A to be sure. When communication is related to the sale. No, you can't pay somebody to get on there and sell your gear. So it's going to be B. I'm pretty sure that's going to be it. When the communication is incidental to classroom instruction at an educational institution. So the teacher is getting their normal salary, I'm sure.
So
they're teaching radio stuff. I guess that's not what that means.
So if you were just happen to be a professor or Dean of Student Affairs.
You're really reaching here, man.
Well, I've been saving that up all week.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Yeah. So I'm going to agree with you. It's B. Chat room. Yeah, they're all saying B.
When may amateur stations transmit information in support of broadcasting, program production, or news gathering, assuming no other means is available? A. When communications are directly related to the immediate safety of human life or protection of property.
B. When broadcasting communications to or from the space station. Oh, let me do that again. Is there a space shuttle anymore?
No. There's a space station.
So why? They didn't update this question. B. When broadcasting communications to or from the space shuttle.
C. Where non-commercial programming is gathered and supplied exclusively to the National Public Radio Network.
D. Never.
This fine to answer?
Yep.
When may the amateur stations transmit information in support of broadcasting, program production, or news gathering? When such communications are directly related to the immediate safety of human life. Well, that's going to... It's not going to be D, because I think it's A. But let's look back at them. Where non-commercial programming is gathered... exclusively to the National Public Radio. NPR doesn't have the exclusivity on it. When broadcasting communications to or from the space shuttle, it's going to be A. When communications are directly related to immediate safety of human life or protection of property. That's pretty much everything's off the table when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So I'm going with A.
I and everyone in the chat room agree. There you go. That was, that would be pretty easy to reason out there out of all of those.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Especially since there is no space shuttle anymore.
That was pretty much rules that one out.
Yeah. And exclusively to National Public Radio Network, no.
The NPR.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think the commercial broadcasters would lobby...
Oh, yeah.
Real heavily on that.
Oh, you know it.
But, yeah, it's A, and that makes sense. I mean, when it comes to safety, human life, and protection of property, that trumps just about everything else.
Fist bump. Got a reminder in there. Thanks, Tom. How does the FCC define broadcasting for the amateur radio service? A, two-way transmissions by amateur stations.
B, any transmission made by the licensed station.
C, transmission of messages directed only to amateur operators.
Or D, transmissions intended for reception by the general public.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty easy one there.
How does the FCC define broadcasting for the amateur radio service? Broadcasting is one-way transmission. It's not two-way, so it can't be A. Any transmission made by the licensed station... No. If that was the case, then...
We'd all be broadcasters. Well,
yep. Made me think of a commercial there. C. Transmissions of messages directed only to amateur operators. Nah, it's D. Transmissions intended for reception by the general public.
I concur.
Yeah, which we're not supposed to do that. Everybody in the chat room says we're not supposed to.
Yep.
And it is. All it's right, D. Yeah. All right. When may an amateur station transmit without identifying on the air? A, when the transmissions are of a brief nature to make station adjustments.
B, when the transmissions are unmodulated.
C, when the transmitted power level is below 1 watt.
Or D, when transmitting signals control model craft. I just kind of happen to know this one because this is kind of one of my hobbies. It's going to be D, when transmitting signals control model craft. Although, well, let's see if I'm right first, and then I'll give the although. I'm pretty sure that's right.
According to the chat room, you're right.
Okay. So although, the like on a drone, there's a telemetry that comes back from the drone. You have there's a string that mm-hmm. you can put in there. You're actually supposed to put your call sign in there. Comes back to you.
Do you have a drone call sign?
No, but you put your amateur radio call sign in it. Because some of them, for a certain power, you're supposed to have a license.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I'm thinking this question probably came about, or rule came about a long time ago, because today, modern craft probably have the capability of including a call sign or identification real easy, technically, you know. The hardware is there. That wouldn't be hard to do. But in days gone past, yeah, you know, you may not have had that capability to do it if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You should study along with us right here on Ham College. We're going to cover all the questions. But if you'd like to do some outside study, there are texts available.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah. You can also do practice tests online at places like hamstudy.org. Number of different places on there that offer your question and answer pools online.
I did quite a number of those before I went to take mine.
Yeah. You can buy books. This one right here is the ARRL Ham Radio License Manual, 5th edition. This is a good little thick book here. Spiral bound. It covers more than just the questions. It's got some background and different explanations, different modes.
Theory and stuff.
Theory and such. You can also get, from the ARRL, Gordon West Amateur Radio Study Guides. Those are also excellent, and you study that.
Yeah.
You're pretty much going to pass. A lot of different ways you can study there. We encourage you, or if you've already got your license, we encourage you to encourage someone else to get their amateur radio ticket. It can be handy in a lot of different occasions, just for the fun of it, which is kind of what we did.
I've got 3 people at my job licensed.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't got anybody at my job licensed.
Well, you're slacking, man. You need to tighten up.
Well, I know I did get one guy licensed. Actually, I got 2 licensed.
Well, there you go.
That was in a previous job.
Still
then
counts.
I got my son licensed. So, yeah, it's a tie score here.
Well, that's a good one if you got your son licensed, because I'm pretty much defeated by that one.
We got some stuff to give away here, so I think it's only appropriate.
We're not going to give it away tonight. We're going to talk about it. Give people a chance to get their name in so they might win it.
Yep, we are going to talk about it. If you'll stand by for one moment, we'll be right back.
Around the 15th of each month, it's Amateur Radio's original and longest-running video podcast, AmateurLogic.tv, with hosts George Thomas, Tommy Martin, Emil Diodene, and Mike Morneau.
Roughly, here's what I have. The bottom trace here is ground.
While the elements will jiggle some, they're actually not too bad. It's light.
After putting it together, I decided to test everything, so I ran in 12 volts, and I'm measuring the output here.
We're in the antenna switching matrix. Any one of our 6 broadcast transmitters could be connected to any of the 22 antennas.
I personally am so thrilled that George got the special award. Well deserved, my friend. That's really cool.
What about the Super Bowl, Emil? Did you go to the Super Bowl, or were you at home operating that night?
Tuning my amplifier and... Oh, I lost power in the shack and went outside. The house lost power. The whole neighborhood went out for about 30 minutes. I don't know what happened.
Oh, huh.
That explains a lot. Now, we can take this and put it over inside our box. It's flush to the bottom. If we were to rotate, we can see that thing goes all the way through, so we'll have a hole in the bottom.
What ammunition do you use in there?
Actually, you can use black powder. You can use WD-40. You can use, you know, anything combustible. You just have to use the right quantity, and we assume no responsibility for mishaps.
Here's what it looks like after I've got them all soldered together and heat shrinked up. Okay, let's give it a try and see how it worked out. So there you have it, the hula loop. No, you can't null out the dogs barking.
I have two thin film solar cells to run this. Looks like a little mini weather satellite, actually. And I'm using a guitar string for the antennas.
I particularly like that last one there. $29.99, you can get a 50-foot garden hose extension cord combo.
Do not get cord wet.
Now, most of these J-poles are built with metal elements or tubing. The reason I chose wire for this one is the length of this particular one. So I wanted to hang it from the tree so I can hoist it up there.
Yeah.
Go fishing.
We couldn't find the reel.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
All right, Tommy, sing the theme song here.
The last show, whenever we decide to shut her down. I'm just going to belt it on out. Just let it go.
Just let her rip.
That's probably what it's going to sound like.
Well, you know, Amateur Logic, our parent show here, it started in what year? 2005.
Yep. Katrina year.
Yep. Right after. Well, portions of it were shot before, portions after, right around the time of Hurricane Katrina, years ago, 19 years ago to be precise. And we're celebrating next month. We're going to give away a great prize package here, a variety of items, ICOM IC705, an Intellitron power supply from Giga Parts, also an Intellitron antenna, and Massey and Poloni. Or Paoloni, however you pronounce it, coaxial cable. And we're going to talk a little more about these items. First, the IC705. We actually know someone who has one of these rigs.
I just so happen to have one in this bag right here.
He's got it all bagged up and ready to go. That's Tommy's radio. It's the IC705 HF 6-meter, 2-meter, and 440 megahertz. Multi-mode portable transceiver, base station performance and features in the palm of your hand, whether you're taking your hobby to a SOTA, POTA, or some other on-the-air location, the IC705 will be your go-to rig from HF to 50, 144, 440 megahertz. You can enjoy a variety of bands in the D-Star DV, single sideband, CW, RIDI, AM and FM modes. The IC705 receives continuously from 30 megahertz through 144 megahertz band, and you can also enjoy FM broadcast and airband receptions. And the IC705 employs an RF direct sampling system where RF signals are directly converted to digital radio. In other words, this is a true software-defined radio. Mm-hmm. Tommy, tell us couple of things since you have one of these.
Yeah, it's got a real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display, which is will actually spoil you once you get used to using it. You can see the signals where the signal activity is and touch it, and it'll take you right there to that frequency. Very nice. You can change the span to how much you can see at one time.
Just point and shoot.
Pretty much that easy.
Mm-hmm. A large 4.3-inch color touchscreen display. And, yeah, that's the same size of display that's unlike the IC7300.
I think I'm pretty sure it's the same size. Yeah. Very nice. Got wireless LAN Bluetooth technologies.
What can you do with that?
Well, you can use a Bluetooth headset like I did at Field Day. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to do some other Bluetooth stuff with pretty soon. It's also got wireless LAN, so you can get on the network, set the time over the internet, and connect to it remotely.
GPS functions, and that can be handy for some of the digital modes.
Yeah, D-Star's got the DPRS, not APRS, but DPRS. If you use a repeater or your hotspot's enabled for that, which mine is, and you'll show up on the APRS network.
And it's got a micro SD card slot. What can you do with that?
You can back up your settings, restore your settings if you want to. Like sometimes I have different files on mine for different setups. And you can also record your QSOs if you want to get a record of it. It'll automatically record. It's very nice. Good to have.
And a micro USB connector. And, of course, I assume that's so you could program the radio. But
yeah, you can hook it up and do digital modes with it, too, because the radio will show up as a sound card to your computer. It'll also use to charge the battery if you want to, so you can hook it up to the computer when you're not transmitting. It'll charge the battery.
D-Star functions?
My favorite. Yeah, my favorite digital mode, digital voice mode. So I've got all the built-in D-Star stuff. It's got the D-Star repeater that uses the GPS, so you can find the nearest D-Star repeater to you. You can get updates for that list off of D-Star info. You can also have nearest FM repeaters with it as well, so you get the FM and D-Star repeaters.
That's cool. Programmable speaker mic?
Yep. Got a really nice little speaker mic. This is not the little cheap speaker mics that you used to see, that you used to have in. It's got some weight to it. You can see it's a metal.
Yeah.
Metal on it. It's a very, very nice speaker mic. The audio sounds really good on it. Got buttons on the front that you can program what they do. Which I haven't used that, but it's capable of it. Very nice. I really like the little speaker mic.
So you're saying it's a compact radio and a rugged case for outdoor use. It's small, lightweight, and it weighs less than 2.5 pounds.
I would say exactly that.
That's what I thought you would say. In portable mode, what kind of power can you get out of this?
Just off the battery. It's got a battery on the back of it, like the one on the ID51 or 52.
Handhelds.
Handheld. Same battery. And you can get up to five watts out of it with that. But if you hook up the coaxial power connector like you have to the power supply over here, you can get up to 10 watts out of it.
With 13.8 volts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. There's an optional backpack you can get, and you got.
I've actually got one, Very nice little backpack. The radio fits in the top up here. If you open the right top. Other top.
Okay. Not the bottom top.
Fits in there. Very nice and neat. You can operate from here. You can run the... I've got the microphone tucked in, so I can pull it out, run the coax in, hook it up so it can stay in the backpack as you use it.
Yeah, and at QRP power levels, not worried about it getting hot because it doesn't generate that much heat.
Yeah, it doesn't get very warm at all. Mm-hmm. A little bit of warmth off of it, but not much.
What else you got in that bag?
I got a toner. I should have probably gotten this out so everybody didn't have to listen to the zipping.
Now, the bag is optional. That's not part of the package here.
Yeah, but it's available.
It's available. Yeah.
I've also got the AH705 antenna tuner. Works off of AA batteries. It's a latching tuner, so once it gets set, it's not using battery. So the battery's super efficient. It's the same set of batteries I've had in it. Well, actually, I don't keep them in it because batteries leak nowadays. But I'm still carrying the same set of batteries around since I got it. The batteries are still fine.
Yeah, that'll tune a wide range of SWRs as well, I think.
Yeah, it will. I don't have the range in front of me. You may have it.
Yeah. And there's a variety of optional and free software for the PC, iOS, and Android devices. You know, overall, if you want a portable radio, I don't know what else you'd want to use. I mean, the thing is really small, and it's got everything in it that you're going to see on most base stations.
I've said it before. I guess I'll say it again, but if I had to go down to one radio, this would be the one radio that I would get.
Yeah.
Because I could put it in the mobile, could use it at home, use it camping. You can hook up a rubber duck to it and Walk around with it like a walkie-talkie if you want to. It's just
with
a big walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
Although I've seen walkie-talkies old school. It's about that size.
You know, you need to 3D print a belt clip for that. Man, that would look nice hanging off your belt.
Well, you could put them right through here. Well, you wouldn't so.
We're going to give away this Intellitron PS2230 MLB 30-amp switching power supply. And it's also got a 12-volt DC outlet on the front of it there, where you, basically a cigarette lighter-style plug that a lot of things like cell phone chargers will run off of. It's compact, cutting-edge switching supply, boasting high efficiency and a compact, lightweight design. It's tailored to reduce noise, particularly for communications. Any potential noise can be negated using the noise offset control on the front there. That's not a variable voltage control. That's a noise offset control. It's also got illuminated meters for enhancing overall usability. You can read both voltage and current with that meter. Input voltage, 110 volts AC, 60 hertz. Output voltage, 13.8 volt DC, which is what you want for a radio. Output voltage regulation under 2%. It's got short circuit protection, automatic current limiting up to 30 amps. The maximum output current is 30 amps, a continuous 20 amps, which is going to cover any of your 100-watt radios. Ripple below 80 millivolts peak-to-peak at full load. It's got an 8-amp fuse in it. And it weighs about 3.5 pounds.
Yeah, it's pretty light.
And this is courtesy of GigaParts.com. They sell these for $99. At least it was when I looked up the price last month.
To thereabouts.
Thereabouts. Probably still there. It's got 5-way binding post here on the rear. So you can connect up practically anything to it. Great little lightweight power supply. We've also got something else from GigaParts there because, you know, even if you power the thing up, that's not going to get you on the air. You're going to need something else.
Yeah, you need an antenna, which we've got one right here. You can probably see it laying on the edge. It's the Intellitron PA2199S HF and VHF mobile antenna. Covers 80 through 6 meters at 200 watts. It's got a PL259 on the bottom, so it'll fit a lot of antenna mounts. Covers 10 bands, 80, 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, 10, 6, and 2 meters. Handles up to 200 watts. Maximum height is 49 and a half inches. Sorry, hard to show that part. Built-in machine PL259 connector. The PA2199 is a quick and easy way to go mobile, installing in minutes and covering 80 to 2 meters, as we mentioned, without swapping resonators or dealing with sensitive controllers. Choose your band by using the unique tapping coil system, which George was just showing you, and fine-tune the whip length for a minimum SWR. It's built tough, but light enough to install on a wide range of lip, trunk, pipe, and mag mounts. That's a tongue twister. You can also use it as a portable antenna for MCOM, POTA, marine, or vacation travel setups as well. For a portable counterpoise, use a wire that's longer than a quarter wavelength at the operating frequency and spread it out on the ground, or attach a coax shield to any metallic structure, such as a steel fence, metal railing, or walkway. And I'm going to buy one of those before the special's over.
Yep.
We got a discount we'll tell you about shortly. I'm going to be sure to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you'll want to get in on that. It's a very nice looking antenna. Those two products are Intellitron, and Intellitron is a new product line brought to you by our friends at GigaParts.com. They've got a variety of products on there. It's more than just, power supplies and antennas. They do have a wide variety of antennas and power supplies and meters and
speakers. Yeah, I bought one of the speakers when I was in there.
And the line's expanding. They keep adding new products to the line. Yeah. So good products at a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out. And, you know, they offer us a little something special here. For the viewers of Amateur Logic, you can save 5% on products from Intellitron, Explorer, or Massey and Poloni by going to gigaparts.com and using the code AMTV at checkout, and you'll save an additional 5%.
Speaking of Massey and Poloni, Gigaparts was also kind enough to throw in the 25 feet of RG50 coax cable.
That's some good-looking coax, isn't it?
It really is.
It's same.
I'm going to buy some of this, too. It's super light. It almost doesn't feel... It doesn't feel real. Yeah. There's no wire in there, but it's definitely in there.
Same dimensions as RG58, but at 50 megahertz, its attenuation is only 3.6 dB for 100 meters. So it's lower loss than RG58 for sure. It's perfect for direct burial, totally waterproof thanks to the PE carbon black tearproof sheath that allows different kinds of outdoor uses. It's very lightweight, incredibly lightweight.
Yeah, to the point it doesn't feel like there's any wire in it.
Yeah.
Although it is.
And it's a great advantage if you're doing things like de-expeditions and you're shipping your equipment around, or you got to carry it in a backpack.
I was going to say, if you're going to put it in your little backpack like this, it's not going to add any weight at all to that.
Yeah. And it's only 5 millimeters in diameter, but Airborne 5 is made of tough aluminum magnesium alloyed braid, boasting a superlative robustness and inviolable resistance. I think...
Is this a stainless steel connector on it?
It looks like stainless steel to me.
Very nice looking connector.
The UHF PL259 is a solder mail connector for easy installation. Solder instructions are included. And, of course, this one's already installed on the cable we're giving away. Dramatic suppression of background noise. No braid soldering needed. New compression design with double seal to ensure better protection against infiltration of water, humidity, and condensation. And that connector is... That's an excellent-looking connector there.
Oh, 19 millimeter fits it perfect.
Yep. So if you need to tighten it up, 19 millimeter, you don't have to use those pliers and booger up your connector if it gets, you know, on there tight.
Nobody likes their connector boogered up.
Nobody.
It's a really nice-looking connector, yep. Man. Really quality. I'm buying some of this, too. I'm going to buy a 25-foot piece to go with my little antenna I'm going to buy.
So you're going to be buying one just like that.
Exactly like this. And I'm going to buy that antenna, too.
Yep. Cool. On this antenna, use it on a truck lip mount or any mount on your vehicle. That's all you need. You should be able to tune it. If you're going to use it on a portable, say, tripod or something like that, you just add a counterpoise to it.
Yeah, a little bit longer than the...
quarter
wavelength of whatever frequency you can operate on, whatever your lowest frequency will be.
And if you and I can get a chance before we give this away, we ought to sneak it out one day and do some experiments.
You know, I took it out and checked it in. It fits on my mount on my truck just fine. It's not that heavy. It's not really heavy at all.
No,
And it didn't cause any like. It was fine. I'm definitely going to buy one of them for the 5% coupon thing. Well, that's not the right spot. But.
So let's talk a little bit more about the contest here and how you could win. Of course, the prizes are going to be the ICOM IC705, the Intellitron power supply and compact multiband antenna, and the 25-foot of Massey and Poloni Airborne 5 coaxial cable. You got to be qualified.
Got to be a licensed U.S. or Canadian amateur radio operator with a U.S. or Canadian shipping address.
And there's only one entry per contestant. If you send more than one entry, you're going to get disqualified. So if you've already entered the contest, don't enter again. our autoresponder should have sent you an email when you entered the contest. If it didn't, or you've got concerns you can't remember if you entered, just email one of us, George or Tommy, at amateurlogic.tv, and we'll double-check
for you. We'd be glad to check it for you. Winner's responsible for any taxes incurred, should there be any.
Yeah, and the winner agrees to use his or her call sign and name in promotional and news items related to the contest.
Contestants must not be an employee or affiliate of Amateur Logic or ICOM or Gigaparts.
And how to enter? Well, it's easy enough. You just send an email to contest2024 at amateurlogic.tv. All you do is put your call sign in the subject line. Only your call sign in the subject line, because that's how we're going to sort them. And in the body of the message, include your name, call sign, class of license, and address.
Submissions must be made between Sunday, September the 1st, and Monday, October the 14th. So you've got about
10 days. Well, actually be less than that by the time this episode.
9 days by the time it comes out. Yep. So just pay attention to that. Don't miss out your opportunity to get in, get your name in the drawing.
Yeah, and the way we're going to select the winner is by random number of the entries received. The winner will be announced on the October 18th episode of AmateurLogic.tv.
Yep. If it's determined that the winning entry does not meet the qualification requirements, another winner will be chosen by the same method. Contest rules and information will be posted at amateurlogic.tv/contest.
Void where prohibited. And we want to thank ICOM for supplying the IC705 transceiver.
Absolutely. They always come through.
Yep. And thank Gigaparts and their new Intellitron line for supplying the accessories.
Yeah, we appreciate those guys, too.
Yep.
Very nice of them to jump in. And 73, and good luck in the contest. I always feel like I have to say that. I'm not a contester, so this is about my only opportunity to get to say those.
And if you haven't registered yet for this prize package, you need to do it. You don't have much time left.
Yep, so go ahead and get your entry in. Again, if you've sent one in and you didn't get an autoresponder back, you question it, be sure to email one of us and we'll be glad to check it for you.
Yep. During the month, if you want to find out what's going on with Ham College, well, there's a way you can do it. You can join our high society, facebook.com/groups/Ham College.
We're on Twitter or X. Follow us at Ham College.
Or you can join our groups.io/g/amateurlogic group. And there we send out emails whenever there's going to be a live episode or whenever we post an episode.
Show.
Yeah. And let you know when the next show is going to be. And if you're wondering what we covered in any particular episode, there's a way you can find out that information.
You can. We have this guy behind the scenes that puts the show notes in there in the wiki. It's amateurlogic.tv/wiki. If somebody emails us and asks, hey, what episode was so-and-so in? Actually, I had somebody do that. Asked me about the ham clock stuff the other day, and so I went to the wiki and looked it up, ham clock, and it came up right there with the answer. So anyway, it's a good reference to go find anything that we may have spoke about on the show previously.
Okay. Well,
on either show.
Is there anything else you think we should mention before we get out of here tonight?
I don't think so. I think I pretty much covered it.
Okay.
It was a fun show. They always kind of are. I really like doing these.
Yeah.
It's interesting to go back through and see how much of the... It's been a long time since I took my technician test. It's always interesting to go and see how much of it I remember.
It seems like it's been a long time since we didn't miss a question on a technician exam.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't miss any tonight. Everybody got them right tonight.
I came close.
Yep.
I missed your question.
Luckily, you did.
It didn't count against me.
See, I was thinking about you when I took the first question.
Well, I appreciate that. Because I thought for sure it was going to be a setup when you said...
No, it wasn't. I had no particular reason other than...
Just being a nice
guy. It just seemed like we usually you take them first, so I do it this time around. We want you to join us right here at amateurlogic.tv on... October the 18th, that'll be the next episode.
And
that's when we're going to be giving away this prize package here. And it's our 19th anniversary. We're not sure what else we're going to be doing on the next show, but we've got
hopefully something
a couple of weeks to figure it out.
Go ahead and get your entry in if you haven't gotten it in.
Please.
Matter of fact, tell your other ham friends about it.
7-3.
7-3, everybody. Good night.
Everybody's saying B. I'll agree with you. No. Wait a minute.
That can't be right.
That is not right.
I'm going to have to check that one.